Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello, and thank you once again to coming from the skeptic psychic, where we do delve into the pragmatic, the go-getters, the people who can, will, and be used against you in a court of law, kidding, mostly, the UFOs, the science fiction, the... and all things dealing with the paranormal. I am, of course, jokingly and seriously, Richard Gregg. With me is always the wonderful, smart, talented, and highly motivated sister of mine, Kimber Rodriguez.
Gee, if I didn't have a big head before, I sure do now.
Yes.
How are you doing today? And
I'm doing fine. These past few months, forgive us, ladies and gentlemen. I want to put all the blame on myself for some own personal reasons I don't want to go into online, but I promise and I fulfilled. We are back.
Yes. We've had things going on both of our sides, from sickness to we lost a family member a couple of weeks ago. That was very hard. And so, yeah, unfortunately, personal life has taken a toll on us both, but we're back, we're raring to go. And if you're watching this, we actually recorded this on St. Patrick's Day. So as you can see, I've got my green. The only thing green I had is a Christmas shirt with the gingerbread men, but I figure it was always my favorite story growing up, the gingerbread man. So I guess it works. It's green.
Yep.
But happy St. Patrick's Day, since we are recording today. And
for all you people in the future.
So what's new on your end?
Not much. Just work, sleep, and eat, and just get, really seriously thinking about moving back up to Washington State in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I have decided that I want to move into an RV. The RV life's for me. But seriously, I've always wanted to travel ever since I was a little girl. And I figure, why not? But for too long, I've been putting it off, thinking I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the resources. And the truth is, I'm really not getting any younger, so I might as well just go for it. But there's a twist to my traveling the country.
Yeah, I know exactly how old you're going to be. You're going to be 29 all over again. Or is it going to be 21?
22,
okay.
22. But
okay.
Either way, I figure I want to travel, but I want a twist to it. I want to travel and visit all the haunted locations that I can throughout the country and the world. So if we can get this to 100,000 likes, I will move into an RV and start traveling. So make sure that you like and subscribe, share with your friends. We're at 75 subscribers currently. We're trying to get that 100, milestone. We're almost there. So please like and subscribe. Share this with your friends. And hit the notifications so that you do know when we are posting videos. We usually get them posted every Thursday. Well, we're supposed to have them posted every Thursday. Like you said, we have fallen behind, but we are getting back to that, where we'll be posting videos every Thursday. And you look like you had something to say there.
Yes, I did also, if you're interested, ladies and gentlemen, and friends of all ages, we actually do have a Discord site that we are trying to build, where you can come in, share your experiences, talk to us, get to know us on a personal level, you know.
Yes.
And that is the Skeptic Psych at Discord.
We will share that. And we are getting affiliated with Amazon for all your paranormal needs. So I'm working on that, getting our affiliate links up and running, and those will be available on our website. I will announce. Go for it.
Did I actually tell you guys I actually have a laser light thermometer?
Cool.
You know, I can point it in the air and tell you the exact temperature.
Interesting.
I also have added to my inventory a few recorders, both cassette and MP3.
Nice. Well, we will definitely be updating our links to that, and you will be able to find that information on our website, skepticpsychic.com. Once we have all the affiliate links situated and sorted out, I will make an announcement in our group, Skeptic Psychic, on Facebook, as well as here on YouTube. So make sure you stay tuned and look for that information. And yeah, now that we've... In the future. But now that we've gotten all of that situated and our news taken care of, what are we talking about tonight on this episode?
Well, I did mention the fact that back in the past that I would love to do a talk on John Keel, who is an interesting character in the realm of the paranormal. Not only was he a best-selling writer, but he had some research into and one of the most interesting annals of not only cryptozoology, but also the paranormal investigations.
Interesting. For those of you who don't know who John Keel is, if you remember the early 2000s movie, The Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere, this is the gentleman we're talking about. His character was based on John Keel, and he wrote the book by the same name based on the encounters there in
Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
I wanted to say Point Pleasant, but for some reason my mind kept going to Point Place, and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. I think that was... No,
that's the alternate Monopoly world. Meanwhile, at Point Place, next to Broadway.
I think that's also the name of the city in that 70s show, Point Place, Wisconsin.
Maybe. I'm going to have to ask some cheeseheads. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and break into John A. Keel. Born 1930, died in 2009. He's an American journalist, researcher, and author, best known for his work in ufology, the paranormal, and the unexplained phenomenon. His significant attention for the groundbreaking book about the Point Pleasant sightings in West Virginia during the 60s, which he published in 1975, the name, The Mothman Prophecies. Now, he was deeply convinced that humanity was surrounded by a reality beyond conventional understanding. Spent years investigating cryptids, UFOs, and strange encounters, and also the Men in Black. Believing that these phenomenons were read as real in some sense. However, his interpretations often diverged from the mainstream UFO or cryptozoology. For example, he did not view UFOs as simply alien spacecrafts. Instead, based on his theories, that they might be manifestations of a broader, more interdimensional intelligence junction. Sorry, I get onto duty.
Perfectly fine. It's, words are hard.
Despite the fascination, Keel has often criticized in the blind faith or unethical belief in the paranormal.
emphasizing the need for rigorous investigation and caution against being deceived by a phenomenon that could be deliberately misleading. He even questioned whether these entities have malevolent intentions, suggesting that they might be tricksters playing with human perspectives.
Humans' consciousness did play a central role in their paranormal experiences. And this blended ideas from ancient mysticism, quantum physics, and even modern psychology. Also, he is well known for rejecting the common UFO logical belief that identified flying objects are alien spacecrafts from distant planets. He was one that was critical of this hypothesis and even argued that it lacked sufficient evidence and failed to explain a broader range of strange experiences that people were experiencing. He theorized that these phenomena might originate from closer to home, here on Earth, such as maybe, you know, we've all heard it, air balloons, swamp gas, unknown stuff that the military is working on. These are the kind of things that he thought maybe could explain what we were seeing. We've all heard it. But his investigations often led him to believe that so many so-called paranormal events could be explained by these factors that I mentioned, as well as hoaxes and deliberate manipulation. So not only is he saying that it could be these factors that I brought up, but it could also be people playing tricks on other people to be mean or rude or just to get their name in the spotlight.
Interesting to know, while he was investigating the Mothman prophecies, he had car troubles in the out in the middle of the outskirts of Point Pleasant. And so back then, the 60s, he's wearing a dark suit with long hair, you know, not really scraggly long hair, but long enough hair. And he stopped at this place, and the person later, when they were doing reports, mentioned that he might be a Men in Black. And he's like, yeah, I just came to borrow your, you know, borrow your phone because my car ran out of gas, so.
I can't picture Men in Black, though, having this scraggly long hair, though. I think they'd be more like clean cut, like military style. Not,
right.
You know, a hippie dude of the 60s with long, right, scraggly hair.
That's just, again, perspectives. You don't see some guy in a suit in the backwoods of Point Pleasant at that time.
True. Going with that, he did feel like witnesses could be influenced by cultural expectations, their fear, or even their own subconscious, which feeds into what you were just saying. And in his writings, he frequently warned that these phenomena might be intentionally deceptive and would lead witnesses astray with their false narratives and their illusions.
Okay, now while Kiel documenting the sightings of the Mothman in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, avoided outright claims about the creature's nature. Instead, he framed the events on part of a larger pattern of unexplained but possible psychological or sociological phenomena. He noted that mass hysteria, media influence, and local folklore could possibly shape people's interpretations of their experiences. Now, Kiel's personal experience during this time included strange phone calls and encounters with the quote-unquote Men in Black, were presented with a level of ambiguity, leaving readers to draw their own conclusions.
Now, he was criticized for his uncritical belief system, but he was very outspoken despite it. He felt that many researchers were too quick to jump to conclusions or simply accept the anecdotes without any scrutiny, which is something we try to do here, is we try to rationalize before just jumping to the paranormal, thus the skeptic psychic. But he himself, he liked to take more of a journalistic approach. He would not only listen to the claims, but he would also investigate them. He would also interview witnesses and examine physical evidence, looking for a possible solution earthly before going into the ethereal. And usually he would find mundane explanations, you know, and he would find inconsistencies in these stories. Now, although he did propose these unconventional ideas, such as the existence of ultra-terrestrials or interdimensional entities, he did so more as a thought experience and less as a definitive claim. So he's like, oh, maybe, possibly, hypothetically, this could happen. But he wasn't one to say, oh, yes, this is what happened. And he treated these theories as possible framework for understanding the patterns in these reports rather than asserting their reality. Often his work underscored the importance of questioning the intentions behind the phenomena. And he suggested that even if such forces did exist, they might not be trustworthy or benevolent. So, you know, we talk about, oh, these little green men, we're waiting for them to come take us away. But what if, you know, what if they're the threat we need to worry about coming in to this earth? Kind of like, you know, War of the Worlds type thing. Also, his lasting contribution to the study lies in his balance of skepticism, which is another reason we're so critical of things here on the Skeptic Psychic, the importance of that, having that healthy skepticism. You know, you can entertain provocative theories. Again, his primary focus was on critically examining the evidence, highlighting the human fallibility, and also, you know, challenging the sensationalism that is often associated with the paranormal research. He, rather than him being a cheerleader for the supernatural, he sought to understand emphasize the need for rational inquiry, not to just jump at the first thing you see, but to fully think it over, fully investigate it, and look for a normal conclusion before saying it's paranormal.
Now, his investigations of UFO sightings, cryptic reports, and other paranormal stories, with the curiosity of a journalist, but also exposed mundane explanations behind them. He was constantly seeing and frequently pointing out inconsistencies in witness testimonies, lack of physical evidence, and how cultural narratives shape the way people interpret their experiences. As I also stressed the fact earlier, when he had car trouble and walked up to a cabin out, a small farm out there in the middle of backwoods of Point Pleasant in a suit. That, you know, you don't normally see that type of thing.
There you go. You were frozen, but now you're back. Go ahead.
Okay. Where did I leave off at?
A little bit before the suit.
Okay. He frequently pointed out the inconsistencies of Western testimonies, lack of physical evidence, and how cultural narratives shape the way people interpret their experiences. Again, I'm stressing the fact of him being in a suit in the middle of the backwoods of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and being accused of being, quote-unquote, a man in black, because you don't really see some guy walking around in their Sunday best every day. Now, his most famous work, going into the Mothman prophecies, documents strange creatures sighted in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, alongside certain UFO sightings and mysterious events. A non-believer might interpret the story as proof, not as proof of supernatural, but an example of how fear, media sensation, and local folklore can collectively fuel the imagination. His work could be seen as a case study in how communities respond to stress and uncertainties, such as a Silver Bridge collapse that followed the Mothman sightings. Now, he frequently noted how easily people could be misled by these senses, hoaxes, or even the deliberate deceptions. Describing an encounter with the so-called Men in Black and other phenomenal, bizarrely, and often framed as part of a larger pattern, not plantern, but pattern of manipulation, whether by human pranksters or unreliable of a perception. As being a non-believer, taken from these accounts, highlight the psychological bias or social pressures leading to people to see meanings or signs where there should not be none. Not saying that I am personally a non-believer or anything like that, but looking at a perspective as looking at both sides of every story.
He himself was very openly critical of this community, and he accused it of relying on anecdotal evidence and jumping to fantastical conclusions, as we've already mentioned. He saw the UFO and cryptid theories as modern myths that were crafted to fill in gaps in understanding or exploit human fascination of the unknown. So basically, going back to what we said before about, you know, we're not going back to what we said before, but back in the day when people didn't know why the sun came up, and so they created Mercury to ride it in his horses, bringing in the sun. That's kind of how he viewed the UFO and cryptid theories. These are just myths that were crafted today to make up for things that we can't understand. And, you know, from a non-believer's perspective, his skepticism about this extraterrestrial hypothesis and his critique of blind faith in explorations of the paranormal did reinforce the idea that these phenomena and cultures or cultural artifacts were, you know, just that instead of objects of reality. And his concept of what he called ultra-terrestrials, which were interdimensional beings that interact with humanity, he felt that these could be read metaphorically rather than literally. And as a non-believer, one might interpret this theory as his way of describing how the unexplained phenomena often mirrored human fears, desired, and the cultural expectations. This was rather than the evidence of another dimension. And, you know, these stories might just reflect the workings of the human subconscious or the collective psyche. So now we're getting into mass hysteria. Also, from his perspective as a non-believer, his true significance lies not only in proving the existence of UFOs, cryptids, or the paranormal, but in documenting how humans construct and sustain these narratives. So, you know, as I said, going back to the myths and legends of the past and how that has been carried through time and these stories we still tell to this day, even if we know that they're not real. His work does serve as a rich archive of how belief systems emerge and adapt to modern times. Again, blending the psychological, sociological, and folkloric elements. His investigations ultimately reveal more about humanity's need for mystery and wonder than they do about there actually being a supernatural world.
All right. Let's case study. Let's go ahead and take a look at John Keel's Mothman Prophecies. It's a seminal account of a series of bizarre and unsettling events that took place in and around Point Pleasant, West Virginia between November 1966 and December 1967. It weaves together sightings of strange winged creatures known as the Mothman, unexplained UFO activity, encounters with inanimate features, which the locals considered the Men in Black, and ultimately collimates in the tragic events of the collapse of the Silver Bridge, which killed 46 people during the Christmas season.
May they rest in peace.
Now, yes, the first reported sighting of the Mothman was on November 15, 1966, by two young couples driving near an abandoned World War II munitions facility called the TNT area. Now, this place was considered to be sort of a lover's lane. You went out there to discuss the future and enjoy personal company.
Interesting place to have a lover's lane. I mean, you're around TNT making out. What are you going to do if one of those things explodes?
It was an abandoned TNT facility, so they say.
Well, you know how they say a bomb from World War II is still active today?
Mm-hmm. Now, everybody that does know the Mothman Prophecy or hearing the story, our story previously, this is just a rough draft of what went on. Now, they had described seeing a large humanoid creature with glowing red eyes and massive wings capable of flying at incredible speeds. Over the next year, dozens of witnesses claimed to have seen the Mothman, often describing a feeling of intense fear, unease, and panic during these encounters. Keel, intrigued by his reports, traveled to Point Pleasant in 1966 to investigate. He collected eyewitness testimonies, noted patterns, noticed the fact that he was often the creature itself was seen only at night. It was often associated with strange lights in the sky or other anomalies. They frequently reported strange physical effects such as nausea, fear, and temporarily disorientation. Through his discoveries, he coincided with a surge of the UFO activities in the area. Residents reported seeing mysterious lights, strange crafts, and even receiving strange, even bizarre phone calls. These events went beyond the simplistic known UFO sightings that we are known to hear these days, which you hear the electrical equipment malfunctions without malfunctional without explanations. People experiencing time lapses and memory issues. Numerous accounts of poltergeist-like activity in homes. He speculated that the Mothman, UFO, and other abnormalities may be part of a larger part of interrelated phenomenon. Phenomenon.
Now, as Keel dug deeper into the events, he and many of the witnesses reported encounters with mysterious individuals known as the Men in Black, as we stated earlier. They were often described as wearing dark suits and, acted kind of robotic, almost unearthly. They would also ask peculiar questions about the local phenomenon, and they intimidated witnesses into silence. They would also appear at odd hours and vanish without explanation. He himself claimed to have received non-essential phone calls, including cryptic warnings about the future, as we like to say here. One of the most chilling aspects of his account involved prophetic visions and warnings he and others received leading up to the collapse of the bridge on December 15th, 1967. The bridge itself connected Point Pleasant to Gallipolis, Ohio. And as we said before, it did suddenly give way during rush hour traffic, killing 46 people. This almost, it kind of makes you wonder from a skeptic's point, if somebody had planned this out and was making the calls to warn people before it actually happened, but it was actually planned by man. Now, of course, there's no evidence to support this, but you know, if you're looking at it from a skeptic point of view, that could cross your mind. He also later tied the disaster to a culmination of strange events in the area. He said that some individuals had received warnings. And as I said before, these warnings came either through strange messages or, you know, telephone calls, and some even had dreams that hinted at this impending tragedy. While he avoided directly stating that it was that the Mothman was the cause of disaster, he did suggest that it could have been an omen or a harbinger of doom. Interesting to note, as we mentioned in our Mothman episode, I'll link that somewhere here if you haven't seen it, but he has been seen at other places where things have happened, either good or bad. He was sighted in Chernobyl before the big explosion, as well as a few other places in history. But as I said, I'm going to link that episode here so you can check that out if you haven't seen it yet, because it's interesting, some of the places he's been seeing that I was unaware of until the episode. Mm-hmm. Going back to his book, The Mothman Prophecies, Keel avoided definitive conclusions. However, he did propose some theories. Number one, he rejected the idea that the Mothman was simply a cryptid or a physical creature. Instead, he speculated that it might be a manifestation of, as we mentioned before, his termed ultra-terrestrial, an interdimensional entity that was capable of influencing human perception. Which is interesting because I've heard that mentioned about other cryptids as well, that they could be interdimensional entities.
They do say that the Yeti may be as well as Bigfoot, may be kind of creatures that walk between the back and forth through the veil.
That's what I've heard, that they're interdimensional, but I don't know. I personally, on those, I think they're just animals that have never been discovered, that are just kind of hiding in the wilderness. He also suggested that UFOs, the Mothman, and other anomalies could be part of a larger phenomenon that's aimed at manipulating human belief systems. I'm curious about learning more about that one. And he also explored the psychological and sociological impacts of this event, noting that how fear, rumors, and media coverage can fuel hysteria in these types of situations.
Now, it does remain one of the most famous and unsettling accounts of unexplained. It has inspired numerous books, documentaries, and a 2002 film, which we discussed earlier, starring Richard Gere.
I do have to say real quick, sorry to interrupt. I have to say real quick that movie freaked Mercy out. There was a scene where he walks out of a dark room and you see the door swing, and then you just see these red glowing eyes in the darkness. And that Mercy's like, that's it, I'm done. I will not watch this movie again. It just freaked him out so bad. But I apologize for interrupting. Go on.
All right, so while the skeptics attribute the Mothman sightings to misidentification of owls or other type of wildlife, say cranes, Keel's work continues to captivate readers with its blend of investigative journalism, eerie first-hand accounts, and speculative theories. The Mothman endures a mysterious chapter in American folklore, thanks largely to Keel's ability to intertwine supernatural intrigue with real-world tragedy. Sadly, John A. Keel passed away on July 3rd, 2009, at the age of 79, dying in New York City from congestive heart failure, a condition in
Poor
which
guy.
his heart became too weak for to pump blood efficiently. He had lived a retiredly private life in his later years, focusing on his writings and occasionally corresponding with fans of his work. Despite his declining health, his contributions to the study of UFO, cryptids, and other paranormal stories left a lasting impression into these fields. Now, why do people want to say that John Keel was a fraud? I mean, so far, even if you're thinking that he's got, you can see him as being a skeptic. He does kind of have lack of variable evidence on his constant strange occurrences, including phone calls from mysterious entities, his own personal encounters with men in black, and bizarre electrical disturbances. However, he really provided more hard concrete efforts complaints, relying on the his reliance on witness testimonies and personal experiences made it difficult to him to verify, leading some suspect that he had himself embellished the stories.
Interesting. Yeah, now a little bit more about the inconsistencies and embellishments. There have been researchers that have claimed that he did exaggerate these things to make his stories more dramatic. So, I guess maybe it's like, the author's liberties or whatever. He took liberties in his writing to make it more exciting. Because, come on, who wants to read a book that's just all about skepticism and facts? Not many people, especially when it's, being advertised as entertainment. You want it to be entertaining. Also, there have been reports from Point Pleasant residents that suggested Keel may have combined or altered the elements of the witness testimonies to fit his narrative. He was a skilled writer who knew how to craft an engaging story, and that sometimes made his accounts feel more like fiction than objective reporting. And with that, he presented his theories, such as the ultra-terrestrials manipulating human perception, as this could be a serious possibility. That some critics argue it kind of pushed the ideas without sufficient evidence. So going back to our idea that these cryptids are actually moving between interdimensions, that being said as a fact instead of saying this could be a possibility. And so that's kind of what the skeptics complain about. Now, through time, he did move away from the conventional extraterrestrial hypothesis and begin to lean more into the esoteric idea about these beings and the reality of the manipulation. So some researchers of UFOs have felt that he was more interested in promoting his ideas and theories rather than conducting an investigation on this. So was he just misunderstood? he did do extensive field work, and he did travel to remote locations. He did interview witnesses, and he did spend years documenting these strange events. And unlike many of the enthusiasts for UFOs during his time, he was very skeptical. And he sought alternative explanations. Even if they were a little unconventional, he was still looking for those rational explanations. He himself claimed to have experienced many strange things. And if he truly believed these events were real, then his writings were not necessarily fraudulent. They were just based on his experiences, which were difficult to prove. So despite the skepticism surrounding, one sec, my camera is blocking the way, sorry. But despite these skepticisms that surrounded his work, he did inspire countless of researchers, writers, and filmmakers. And his documentation of mass hysteria, witnesses psychosis, and patterns in the paranormal fields did help shape the modern discussions on UFOs and cryptids. So now we come to the conclusion. While his work is filled with unverifiable claims and sensational storytelling, there is no definitive proof that he was a fraud in the sense of deliberately lying to profit or for fame. Instead, he was likely a mix of a sincere investigator and a writer who just knew how to spin a compelling tale that was eerie. Whether one views him on genuine explorer or of the unknown as a masterful storyteller embellishing the truth, that depends on how much one believes in his claims. So now we leave it to you, the viewers. What are your thoughts on John Keel and the Mothman? Do you think that it is possible that these cryptids could be, as I said, I think they're undiscovered animals, creatures that are going pat through interdimensional, omens or harbingers?
Or was it just the BS artist that wanted to tell, go upon the, make money off the claims of the tales of what happened in Point Pleasant and coincided with a tragic event that really did not have anything to do with these creatures flying around. And that's from the other perspective. Was he a fraud or a storyteller? Or was he just kind of getting that story out there with his own personal theories?
Let us know in the comments what you think. And if there's anything that you would like for us to cover, again, let us know. You can email us at info@skepticpsychic.com. Join our Facebook group, Skeptic Psychic. And is there anything we forgot for this week?
We still would love for you to give us a review on whatever one you choose. We would like to hear whether we do good, do bad, whether we're greatest things that ever, the greatest story ever told, or we suck eggs.
Yes, give us a review, let us know. And again, make sure you like, subscribe, click the bell. We're trying to get to that 100 mark, that 100 milestone. Right now we're sitting at 75, sitting pretty. So yeah, please like and subscribe. And until next time, sweet dreams, everyone.
And pleasant nightmares.
Good night. Good night.